Trumos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Base, 4-2. This Mishnah is an obscure Mishnah, and its meaning is not clear at all. There are a number of Pshatim. I'll give you both of the Pshatim the Bartner suggests. The first way to learn this, I think the best way to learn this, is first, let's read the words inside. I'll translate them word for word without explaining what they mean. And then you can see where we're going and sort of what the problems are with making sense of what the Mishnah has to say. And then I'll give you the two versions of how the Bartner explains this Mishnah. So the Mishnah reads, Misha hayu peirosav b'magura. One who has his produce, let's say grain, in the grain silo, v'nasan sa leven levi, and he gave one sa, that's a measurement, say 12 liters, to a levi, usa la'ani, and a second sa, a second 12 liters, let's say, container, to an ani, a poor person, mafresh ad shmona sa'in v'ochlin. He can separate up to eight more sin, more saws, 12-liter containers, let's say, v'ochlan, and eat those, divrei Meir, according to Meir. And the Chacham omrim, eino mafresh ela lefi cheshbon, the Chacham say no, he can only eat and separate according to the cheshbon, the calculus, how it's determined. That's what the Mishnah says. The meaning of that Mishnah, of course, as you can see, is rather obscure. The Bartner gives two separate explanations. They're totally independent one of the other. The first explanation he gives is the setup is we have a farmer who's the Bal Habayis. He owns the produce, and he is an Am Haaretz. That is to say, he is not necessarily to be relied upon regarding proper tithing of the produce, like we discussed in Seches Demai. And the employee that he's taken in is a chaver, someone who's strict and punctilious about the proper taking of tithes. And the halacha is that a chaver may not rely on an amaretz to have tithe properly. Hence the whole Maseches Demai. So what was very common in the time of the Mishnah was employees, is probably a misnomer, workers, poelim, would work and they would, as a matter of course, be given food to eat because everyone was sort of a subsistence level of farming or working, typically, and therefore it was part and parcel of the engagement of the poel, of the worker, to be provided with food. So the worker here has a problem. He can't necessarily eat the food that's given to him by his employer, the farmer, without first ensuring that the proper tithes are taken one way or the other. So the case in our Mishnah then is, I'm saying it outside first and I'll see inside the words afterwards, that the worker, who's a chaver, he's strict regarding tithing, saw that his employer, the farmer, gave a container of grain to a lady, and he saw him give a second, and he, the employee, the worker, saw the employer, the owner of the grain, give a second container of grain to a poor person. Now, it was not explicit whether those gifts were Maaser Rishon, given to a levi, and if it was Maaser Ani, given to a poor person, or not. But the Mishnah is going to say, according to Reb Meir, that the chaver, the strict employee, the worker, the poel, can safely assume that those were indeed Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani, and that means there must have been, at the starting point, roughly 10 sa'in of grain that needed tithing, and 10% of that goes to Maaser Rishon, and the remaining 10% goes to Maaser Ani. The numbers don't add up exactly, but that often doesn't bother the Mishnah, so that's not really a concern here necessarily. And the Mishnah is saying that based on those assumptions, it's allowed for the worker to assume that the gifts were Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani, meaning that there's now remains eight sa worth of properly tied food, which the worker could eat. Now, I told you we're not worried about the numbers working out exactly. That's okay. We could be rounding numbers. As far as the Truma Gedola, that's not a question, not a problem, because the rule is, if you recall from Maseches Demai, that an Am Haaretz can be relied upon to properly separate Truma Gedola. In any ways, he wouldn't have seen it. He, the worker, the poel, wouldn't see the Truma Gedola being separated here at the grain silo anyways, because the proper time to separate Truma is right away as soon as the Gemar Melacha, the finishing of the processing. So it would have happened back at the threshing floor anyways. So no concerns of Truma Gadola, Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Ani have been given, and therefore he, the employee, he, the worker, can safely assume it's been tied properly and eat up to a total of 8 saw worth of grain based on that assumption. Says Reb Meir, and the Chacham say, no, he can't necessarily assume that. Maybe the gift that was given to Levi was just a gift and only, you know, the requisite amount to make this current meal edible was given as Maaser Rishon, and the same goes for the gift to the poor person. Maybe it was given just as a gift, a generic gift, not a Maaser Ani gift, and therefore only the minimum amount was given as Maaser Ani to allow proper tithing. In other words, since the employer knows that the employee must eat, and therefore he, of course, is claiming he tithed it properly, it's assumed he tithed it properly, so that much, since after seeing what was given, the employee can assume it was tithed properly, at least to the point that this one meal, this current meal, is properly tithed. That's what it means, l'fi cheshbon, the calculated amount of food for this particular meal. But when it comes to the next meal later on, he, the employee, the worker, can no longer assume that things are tithed properly and have the usual problems of demai, which he'd have to separate and deal with beyond the scope of this Mishnah. That's the Bartender's first pshat. Let's see it in the words. I'll read it now again, but now I won't just translate. I'll explain. Misha hayu peirosov b'magura. If there's a farmer who has his grain stored in the silo, v'nasan sa'a leven levi, and the poel, the worker, observes that the farmer, the owner, gave one sa'a to a levi, usa'a la'ani, and a second sa'a was given to an ani, so he, the worker, can safely assume those are given as Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani respectively, and therefore mafresh ad shmona sa'an va'ochlin. He can therefore separate another 8 sa'a worth of grain from the silo, and that will be for a total of 10. Everything's tithed properly, divra of meir, and that's going to be a-okay, no problem. It's safe to assume that the gifts were Maaser Ani and Maaser Rishon. And the Chum say no. The Chum omrim, eino mafresh el fi cheshbon. No, we can't just assume that. He only can separate enough food that he will now be able to eat this one meal properly, and beyond that, he would have to deal with the concern that maybe what's served to him at the next meal isn't being tied properly at all. That's the first pshat in the Bar Tanura. The second pshat in the Bar Tanura, a totally different case. Forget everything we said up to now. Shake that Etch-a-Sketch clean. New picture to be drawn. The same words, of course, but here the picture is simply that the we have a person who, there's no employees and employers here. There's a person, he owns this field, he owns this grain, he has grain in his silo that needs to be tithed. He hasn't yet decided which grain he wants to tithe, or maybe if it, you know, so let's assume that there, for who knows what reason, he would have some preference of one over the other. So what does he do? He has a levy knock on his door, let's say, so he gives the levy a saw worth of grain, and then he has the ani knock on his door, and he has the ani request food, so he gives the ani a saw of grain. And then later on, he goes to the silo and says, you know what? I'm going to tithe a total of 10 saw worth of grain. He chooses what grain now, after the fact. And he'll say, listen, wherever the grain is in the hands of the ani, of the levy, let that be the Maaser Rishon. And wherever the grain is in the hands of that ani, wherever he went to, let there be the Maaser ani. And that will tithe properly. There's 10 saw, leaving me with the 8 that are left in my hands. And I'll eat those happily ever after. In other words, he can just assume that, says Reb Meir, he can assume that that Levi somewhere still has that saw of grain safe and sound, and the ani, the poor man, has that saw of grain safe and sound, and now that will be the source of being separating the tithes required from this grain, these 8 remaining saw of grain in the silo. That's Reb Meir Shita. And the Chum say, no way. Who says that the Levi hasn't gone and consumed the grain? And who says that the Ani hasn't gone and consumed the grain? And if the Ani has now eaten some or all that grain, it's no longer available to serve as the Maaser Ani gift to be the tithe that must be taken from the 8 remaining saw back of the silo. So it just won't work. He won't be able to do anything. He, the owner of this grain, won't be doing anything until he is able to ascertain how much is left of the Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani, and then based on that new information, if he finds out whatever, if only half of each is left, he can't eat 8, he'll only be able to eat 4 saw, because that's all that he has available to him. So he can't rely on it and on the assumption that it must be around, and that the Levi and poor person haven't eaten it. Rather, he has to re-clarify the matter and then only separate tithes based on his updated information according to that cheshbon. The words of the Mishnah, again, I'll read inside one more time, again, explaining according to that second pshat. Misha hayu peros of magura, an owner of grain, has lots of grain in his silo. V'nasan sala ben Levi, he gives one container, a saw worth, to a Levi. Usala ani, a second saw container to a ani, not declaring them Meiser Rishon and Meiser ani, for now. And then, later on, he decides he wants to separate to Mafresh ad Shmona sa'an va'ochlan. He could, at a later date, take eight more saw from his silo and say, listen, these need to be tithed properly. The Meiser Rishon is in some Levi's hand somewhere, and that'll be sufficient, that I gave, and that'll be it. And the Meiser Ani is in the Ani's hand somewhere wherever I gave it to him, and he walked away with it. And those will act as the tithes for this total of 10, leaving with 8, and I'll eat those. That's Rav Meir. He says that's okay. The owner is allowed to safely assume that the grain he gave to the Levi and the Ani is still extant, still around. And the Chacham say, no, you can't. V'Chacham Omrim, Eino Mafresh El Fi Cheshbon. The Chacham say, no, he can't take any tithes until he first ascertains what actually is left of the Meiser Rishon and of the Meiser Ani, and then he'll be able to tithe what he has remaining in the silo based on the updated calculations of what he has now discovered is left of those gifts. And whatever the pshat is, the halacha is certainly like the Chachamim.